Please turn with me back to Ruth chapter 1. I mentioned this morning that the title of our message tonight kind of got to some people's attention, and that was intentional. The title of our message tonight is How to Live with a Bitter Person. That's probably not the greatest title to preach on Mother's Day. But again, I did that intentionally to try to encourage us to wonder what in the world that's all about. It seems as though everyone just assumed that I'm going to be talking about a bitter wife and mother. That's wrong. I want to look at Ruth as an example of a mother who knew how to live with a bitter person. Naomi was the bitter person in Ruth's life. But certainly we can apply that to anyone in our lives, whether it's a family member, whether it's a husband, whether it's a grown child, whether it's just somebody we work with. How do we live with a bitter person? Lloyd mentioned earlier about doing all things without murmurings and disputings. And how do we live with somebody that's bitter and always complaining and always grumbling about things? What's the best way to handle that? And again, I believe we have a wonderful example in Ruth, as she lived with Naomi, who really became a bitter woman. And so as we look at this evening, that's how I want to challenge us tonight. It's for all of us. How do we live, whether it's a family member or a co-worker, how do we live with someone who has just become bitter? What's our response? Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, as we open your word, we need your guidance, we need your direction, we need your teaching, we need your understanding and wisdom. And certainly, all of us, no doubt, have bitter people in our lives. Perhaps, Father, some of us ourselves are bitter people. Help us to learn from the example of Ruth in your word. May we have her spirit and attitude. May we have her faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read earlier how that Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons, because of the famine in the land of Israel, went to Moab. And we have understood that that would not have been God's will. The land of Israel was the land of promise. The land of promise certainly is the place where God had chosen for his people to dwell and to live. And certainly we had other examples in the book of Genesis how that Abraham and Isaac both left the promised land because of famine in the land, where God had instructed him to stay in the land and allow God to provide for them. But Elimelech and Naomi choose to move to Moab with their two sons, and Elimelech dies in the land of Moab before his sons were married. But then, after he passed away, the two sons marry Moabitess women, Orpah and Ruth. But then the two sons die, leaving just the three widows in the land of Moab. And so, Naomi decides to go back to Israel, back to the promised land. But as you begin to read down through this, you begin to recognize that there is some bitterness in Naomi. She arises in verse 6 with her daughters-in-law to return to Israel from the land of Moab because she had heard that things were better in Israel. And so she, in verse 8, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. So she encourages both Orpah and Ruth to return to Moab, to their own people, and to stay with their own family rather than to go back to Israel with her. And they both, at first, say, no, we'll go with you, Naomi. That would have been the right thing to do in that culture, to stay with the mother-in-law as the sons had passed away and their husbands. But she encourages them to go back to their family. They both agree at first to stay with Naomi, but Naomi presses in verse 11. She said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Again, some of the culture of that time was the expectation that they would marry another son to raise up an inheritance for the first son. But Naomi has no more sons, and she's not married, and she's saying, are you going to wait around for another son? Turn again, my daughters, in verse 12. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, and if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you refrain from marrying? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She says, even if I got married today, are you going to wait around for another son and not marry before that son's old enough? And so she again encourages them to return to their families. But we begin to see there in verse 13 that the bitterness begins to come out as she looks at the hand of the Lord going out against me, she says. Orpah and Ruth had also experienced great loss. They had each lost their husbands as well. But there seems to be no real concern for them as much as there's concern for herself. The hand of the Lord is against me. And bitter people tend to focus on themselves and to focus on that which has gone wrong in their lives and neglect the fact that other people have had difficulties in their lives as well. And so we just begin to see some of the bitterness in Naomi as she focuses on herself and how things are against her, when in reality her daughters-in-law have had great loss as well. Again in verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah decides indeed to go back to her family. But Ruth clings to Naomi, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. What a fascinating statement. Your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You need to do the same. You need to go back to your people and to your gods. Again, some of the bitterness towards her own God of Yahweh comes out as she, in essence, says to Ruth, Ruth, you need to go back to your gods because my God really isn't any better than your gods. Look at all the grief that my God has brought upon me. Go back to your gods. The lack of faith on Naomi's part in the midst of her bitterness is quite overwhelming. Go back to your gods. I'm going to use a phrase that I would not normally use, a phrase that is used very profanely in our world today. I'm going to use it in a true biblical sense when you really think about what Naomi is saying here. Go back to your gods. Is not that in essence saying, go to hell? Again, I'm not using that profanely. I want us to think about what Naomi's really saying here. She's encouraging Ruth to go back to her gods, and those gods will indeed lead her to hell. The bitterness of Naomi really comes out as you continue to work down through this passage. Ruth said, and we begin to see the faith of Ruth, the faith of this Moabitess woman far exceeding the faith of Jewish Naomi. And Ruth says, And Ruth said in verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn away from following after you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death part you and me." What a great statement of faith. While Naomi is really wallowing in her bitterness, bitter towards God because his hand had been against her, so bitter that she's encouraging Ruth to go back to false gods rather than to trust in her God, Yahweh. But Ruth expresses, where you go, I'll go. They're going back to the promised land, and Ruth understood that this was the land of promise for the people of Israel. And she says, as you go back to that promised land, that's where I will go. I want to go back to the promised land. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. I'm not just going to go visit the promised land. I want to live in the promised land with you. That's a statement of faith. Faith in the promise of God as he has given this land to his people. And she wants to live there in the promised land, and your people shall be my people. She wants to be with God's people. And then finally, a great statement, your God shall be my God. Wonderful statement of faith. And the God that she speaks of in verse 17, where you die, will I die? In other words, this is a lifelong commitment. I'm going to go back to the promised land. I'm going to live in the promised land with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God, and this is where I will die. It's a lifelong commitment that Ruth makes at this point. I'm going to be buried there, and then she says, the Lord, and notice the word Lord there is all capital letters. Yahweh, she names the God of Israel. This is now my God. Yahweh is my God. And Yahweh do to me, and more also, if anything but death part you and me. She expresses faith in the God of Israel. She expresses faith in Yahweh. We see over in chapter 2, verse 12, and this is Boaz speaking of Ruth. The Lord recompense your work and a full reward be given you by Yahweh, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to trust. Boaz recognized the faith of Ruth. You have come to trust under the wings of Yahweh, the God of Israel. Notice verse 18 of chapter 1, when she saw that she was steadfastly determined to go with her, then she, that is Naomi, ceased speaking unto her. I think it's the NIV that translates that, ceased urging her or something along those lines, but that really is an interpretation, ceased urging her. It literally simply says she ceased speaking to her. Well, probably that's a good interpretation that she ceased speaking to her about staying in Moab rather than going with her. But I can't help but think that when it says she ceased speaking to her, that probably in her bitterness, Naomi gave Ruth the silent treatment. That's what bitter people do often. And I think probably for a while at least, things were very cold and silent between Ruth and Naomi on the journey back to the promised land. Notice verse 19. And if you're still wondering, was Naomi really bitter? Maybe you're not convinced in reading those verses, but now we see for sure that she was bitter. Verse 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, Naomi, by the way, means pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Naomi states it very plainly that she was bitter. Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter, for God has dealt bitterly with me. And then notice what she says, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. How do you think that made Ruth feel? Don't you think that when Ruth heard that, I went out full, but I come back empty, don't you think she probably felt like, wait a minute, who am I? You've got me. What do you mean you're empty? You know, many of us in a similar circumstance probably would have had an attitude of, I'll show you empty. But that wasn't Ruth's attitude at all. I can't help but believe that Ruth would have been hurt by that statement. I've gone out full, but I've come back empty, and yet there stands Ruth. But Ruth didn't respond in kind with bitterness towards Naomi. And so we see the beginning now of Ruth responding to Naomi, who I believe was carrying bitterness in her heart. How did Ruth respond? She did that which Naomi told her to do. We're not going to take the time to read this entire book, but I think many of you are familiar with the context. Naomi told Ruth to go out and to glean in the fields, and specifically told her what fields to go glean in, and Ruth obeyed. She didn't argue. She didn't complain. She just went and did that which Naomi told her to do. And one of the first things we see as far as how to handle a bitter person is to be kind to them. Don't respond in kind with bitterness, but be kind to them. Ruth stayed with Naomi, though she certainly would have obviously seen the bitterness of Naomi's heart. She didn't do what Orpah did. And I believe Orpah was wrong in turning back and going to Moab. Orpah washed her hands of Naomi. She wanted nothing more to do with that bitter woman. She washed her hands of her. But Ruth did not wash her hands of her. And that's really often the temptation on our part. When we're faced with a bitter person, we just kind of want to stay away from them. We just kind of want to wash our hands of them. We just don't want anything to do with them. But Ruth didn't wash her hands of Naomi. She stayed with Naomi. She did that which Naomi asked her to do. She was kind to Naomi. Notice in verse 14 of chapter 2, this is after she had gleaned in the fields of Boaz, and Boaz had taken notice. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou here and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched grain, and she did eat, and was satisfied, and left. And when she got up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. He says to those who are doing the reaping, let her glean right from the bundles that you've gathered, and then on purpose drop some extra for her to glean from. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned,
And she brought out and gave to her what she had reserved after she was satisfied. I believe the thought here is she went in and ate with the Boaz's maidens, which he told her to do. And she had her full, but there was some left over. And she took that and brought that which was left over to Naomi for Naomi to eat as well. That's the kindness that Ruth shows to Naomi as Naomi is expressing bitterness towards her God and towards those around her. And so she is kind to her. She stays with her. She doesn't complain as Naomi asks her to go out and glean. She goes and does it. She brings back and provides for her mother-in-law. All these are ways in which we need to handle bitter people. Again, as I said often, instead of showing kindness to one that's bitter, instead of trying to provide for them and help them, we tend to want to wash our hands of them. We don't want to be around them. That's understandable. And yet, should not we approach it as saying, God, I don't want to run from that which you are trying to teach me? You've obviously brought this person into my life for a reason. There's obviously a lesson that you want me to learn from this person. There's obviously something you want to teach me. I don't want to run from the lessons that you're trying to teach me. I don't want to run from that which you're trying to do in my life. So God, I need to be kind to this person. I need to provide for this person the best I can and show that love to them and allow you to teach me what I need to learn as I deal with this bitter person. God did not wash his hands of us, did he? We were bitter, sinful people. We were enemies of God. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't just wash his hands of us. When Adam and Eve sinned there, the first in the Garden of Eden, God didn't just walk away and wash his hands of us. He sent his Son, provided a way of salvation for us. He bestowed grace and kindness upon us. He manifested his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. The way to handle a bitter person is not to wash our hands of them and walk away, but to show kindness and provide for them. Notice in verse 11, Ruth did indeed have quite a reputation. Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done for thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people whom thou knewest not heretofore." Boaz recognized how difficult this had to have been for Ruth, to leave her home, to leave her family, and to come to this land and to come with this mother-in-law who was showing some bitterness. Boaz recognized, and the whole town seemed to recognize, because he says, "It has been shown me all that thou hast done for thy mother-in-law." Others had recognized her reputation. Notice over in verse 10 of chapter 3, and he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Ruth had a fantastic reputation there in Bethlehem because of the kindness she told to that she showed to Mara. Ruth did not look to Naomi for comfort and support. She showed kindness to Naomi. She provided for Naomi, but she really didn't look for comfort and support from her. She looked to her God, Yahweh, for support. She looked to Yahweh for the comfort that she needed, because Naomi at that time was not able to give that to her. Again, often we show kindness perhaps, and we provide for one who is bitter, and when it doesn't change them, then we become bitter towards them. Because we show that kindness in expectation of them returning kindness to us. And when they don't, then we respond in bitterness. Our mistake is expecting that kindness back. You see, it's a difference between what is our goal and what is our desire. We need to show kindness and provide for that bitter person, not with the idea that if I show enough kindness, they'll return kindness to me. They may or may not. That can't be our goal. It may be our desire. We need to recognize the difference between desire and goal. It may be our desire to show kindness to that person and in return receive kindness and to change them so that they're no longer bitter. That may be our desire, but it can't be our goal. A goal is something that you can control, and you can't control that other person's bitterness and that other person's attitude. You have no control over that. A goal is something you can control, and your goal needs to be to glorify God through showing kindness to the bitter person. That's your goal, to glorify God. And whether that person responds in kindness or not, you can still glorify God. You can still reach your goal. That's a goal that you can control through your actions and your attitudes. And so we can't have as our goal to change the bitter person. That's in God's hands. Our goal is to glorify God. So we don't look for comfort and support from the bitter person. We look for comfort and support from God, who alone can ultimately give us that comfort and support. God rewarded Ruth for her faith. God rewarded her for her kindness. We understand at the end of the book of Ruth that she did have a son whose name was Obed. Obed's son was Jesse, and Jesse's son was David. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. And we understand that as she was the great-grandmother of King David, she certainly was in the line of Christ. This Moabitess woman, expressing great faith in the God of Israel, who showed kindness and provided for one who had become bitter towards her own God, Yahweh. But showing that kindness, God rewards her as she's in the line of Christ himself. What a great lesson and great example for us in Ruth showing kindness toward one who is bitter. And can we have that same faith and that same trust, looking to God for comfort and for strength and not other people? And expressing that same faith as Ruth did in our God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this example of Ruth, for her faith, for her kindness towards her mother-in-law. Father, I pray that we would examine our own hearts and our own lives, that we would not be bitter people. And that we would not wash our hands of bitter people. And whether that person responds to our kindness or not, we want to glorify you. We want you to be magnified. Certainly as Ruth's reputation there in Bethlehem was a reputation that brought glory to you, as she was recognized as a virtuous woman. I pray, Father, that we would have such a reputation as we show kindness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Thank you, Father, again for this time together tonight. We pray that we might, even in our dealings with people this week, show that same kindness as Ruth. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening. May God bless you.